Well, we'll shift gears a little bit here this evening, talking about ministry to children. We spoke of how awesome it is that we can take the gospel and the good news of God's word into the public schools, and I'd want to share just a little bit this evening of an update of our ministry. And I sat there thinking, well, how awesome it is that we now have ministries in about 26 states where we very freely and openly take the gospel and God's word into state capitals. I think most of you are familiar with our ministry. It's called Capital Commission, and it's a national ministry. Again, we have ministries in about 26 states. We have two or three states that are hopefully, prayerfully about to come online. And I know I've shared many times over the years, but a little bit about our ministry. We want to have a ministry of presence in the capital of believers who are burdened for the lost and want to see believers strengthened and grow. So a ministry of presence, a ministry of proclamation to proclaim God's word and the gospel clearly, but then also a ministry of prayer. And so that's really the focus of our ministry, and our desire is to share the good news of the gospel with leaders, lobbyists, and staff at the Capitol who do not know the Lord. And then we want to be an encouragement to believers who serve in what can be at times a very challenging and difficult environment. Dan, is it a challenging and difficult environment at times? It can be. And then we also want to encourage believers to pray for their leaders as they should. A number of years ago, I had a church, one of our supporting churches, that called me, and they said, well, we're kind of rethinking our philosophy of missions, and we really want to focus on church planting, that we believe that that's God's model and God's plan for missions is church planting. How does your ministry fit? And kind of even at that time, the insinuation was, well, it really doesn't fit in with that. And my answer was, well, let's go to the church planting book. And which book is that in our Bible? It's the book of Acts. And if you go through Acts and you go through chapters 1 through 20, what do we see? The spread of the gospel and the planting of churches. And so many awesome accounts in the book of Acts of how the gospel has spread, and it's Paul and others, and we, what all do we see? We see persecution, we see riots, but we see the gospel spread, and we see churches planted. But then after you get by chapter 20, in chapters 20 through 28, we see a shift in the book of Acts, and it's a shift from what? Paul is no longer planting churches. What we see in the rest of the book of Acts is how God sovereignly and providentially arranged for Paul to have the opportunity to share the gospel with the highest government leaders in the land. As a matter of fact, when Paul got saved, Ananias went to him, and the message that God had given was, Paul, you have been saved and set aside to preach the gospel to the Jews and to the Gentiles, and to kings. And then you get to Acts chapter 20, and as Paul is sharing, he says, I'm fulfilling my ministry. And so in the book of Acts, we see, well, there is a shift from church planting to God arranging for Paul to have the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel with the highest political leaders of the land, even to the point of sharing, when he made his defense before Caesar, Caesar himself. I thought that was a pretty good answer. The church didn't, and they ended up ending our support. But when you look at the book of Acts and an account like that, you have to do a little determination. Is that simply descriptive of what took place? It's describing what happened and what took place. Or is it, the word we would use is prescriptive. This is what you ought to do. And so I don't know that we can look at that division in the book of Acts and say, okay, this is prescriptive for us. This is what, churches and believers ought to do. But I think we do see that there is a focus from God on seeking to share the good news of the gospel with our leaders. And so just an update of our ministry. It has been a very challenging couple of years. Of course, the COVID year, everything was shut down. And then this year for the legislative session with some of the health problems I had with my surgery and then COVID, I missed almost all the session, the legislative session. Chuck Kinder, who will be here on Wednesday night, filled in for me for most of the Bible studies. Chuck was a longtime state employee and very well known and respected around the Capitol. And he retired a couple of years after I got started. When I started the ministry at the Capitol, and I told folks, hey, I'd like to do Bible studies here. Almost everybody I ran into said, well, you need to meet Chuck Kinder. Because Chuck, and he may even share it on Wednesday night, I don't know, they actually had a Bible study up in the dome for about 10 years. They met up in the dome. But anyway, Chuck was real instrumental in helping us get started. I just wanted to share kind of how challenging these last couple of years have been. When before COVID hit, we were having a great attendance at our staff study. We were getting ready to possibly start up a study up in the Supreme Court. Many of y'all know Justice Tim Armstead was one of the legislators who helped us get started. One of the staffers in the Supreme Court was coming, but then COVID hit. And of course, everything was shut down. Then last year missed a session. And so we have been very slow in being able to get our staff studies and our regular weekly studies getting attendance for those at the Capitol. So I would just ask you to pray as we've continued to try to keep those staff studies going. We do a monthly study at the DEP, the Department of Environmental Protection. That's been going on for a number of years. But just be praying that we can just be faithful to see that study started. Been a lot of changes at the Capitol. Dan, how many years did you serve at the State House? 8 years, and Dan was involved in our ministry for 8 years. He's been blessed with another position and no longer there. And then, of course, legislators will come and go, and there's been a lot of changes. So just been a pretty challenging couple of years. So I just encourage you to pray for us. We are experiencing some pretty severe challenges with our support raising. So we'd just like to ask you to pray for us for that. But again, as I was thinking, it's awesome that we have open doors for the gospel to go into the schools. What an opportunity, but it's also that's true of our ministries in the Capitol. Next week, Beth and I have the privilege of going to Nashville for our national gathering. We have a gathering of all of our workers each year, and so this time Beth gets to go with me, so that will be a blessing. So we'll get to gather together for some training and some fellowship and some encouragement there. So we'll be going to that next week. But I'd like to take the chance now just to share a little bit from God's Word, just an encouragement and a challenge to us. Take your Bibles, turn to Titus chapter 3. There's a lot going on around us in our world, and sometimes it is hard as believers to have a good attitude about the events that are going on, but also about the people. Of course, we've had the Dobbs decision and the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and that has generated a great deal of controversy and conflict, and that is carried over to our own state capitol. If you followed the news and you hear what's going on, some folks that are very loud in their protest and the things that they say, and sometimes we'll hear these things and just it bothers us, it makes us angry. We might look around at what's going on in our culture and things that some of our leaders stand for and some of our leaders, what they believe. Tonight, I want us to think about the question, as we think about our leaders at the Capitol, or maybe our local leaders, I want us to think about this question: how can we have right Christian attitudes and actions towards politicians and others with whom we strongly disagree? All right. How can we have the right, proper Christian attitude towards politicians and others with whom we strongly disagree? Now, this is not just something that would carry to politicians. to leaders, but it might be folks that we work with, that we have some challenges with, that make us angry, that get under our skin, that annoy us. And what I want to share from God's word from Titus this evening is just something that I think will help us consider our attitude. So if you're with me in Titus chapter 3, we'll start reading in verse 1. Remind them, if you're familiar, Titus is what we call a pastoral letter from Paul to a pastor, to a Christian leader. We had several of these letters to pastors, Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, and Titus. And these letters are encouraging these pastors, these Christian leaders, on things they need to focus on in their church, some things they need to do, some things they need to teach. And so that's what Paul is saying to Titus here. And so he's saying, this is something you need to remind the members in your church. This is something you need to remind them about. So remind the members in your church to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I just want you to walk through that passage with me, and I'm actually going to stick some of the points up on their screen, because I just want them to stick in our heads of how do we have the right attitude towards unbelievers. And especially as we think about maybe the world of politics, unbelievers with whom we disagree very strongly, you know, maybe about just about everything. And it's so easy if we spend time watching TV, watching Fox News or one of the other channels, or if you spend time on social media just seeing all that's going on, it's so hard not to be angry or discouraged or bitter. How do we have the right Christian attitude? And Paul lays it out here in Titus. And he underscores it in chapter 3, verse 1, where he says, remind them. Okay, here's some things that you've taught them, but they need to be reminded. So this evening, I just want to remind us some things we need to remember if we're going to have a right attitude. So remember, the first thing we need to remember is, what are the right Christian attitudes and actions that we would have towards others? And he just gives really a list here of the right Christian attitudes and actions, and we just want to go through these, walk through them. He first says, be submissive and obedient to rulers and authorities. Now, Paul writes this to Titus. I think the early church was having some of the same challenges that we as believers might face in our country today, with challenges regarding our government and our leaders. It was a very different world back then. They had the emperor, the Caesar, was Nero, not a real pleasant fella. Persecution, challenges, trials. But in three of his letters, Paul gives challenges to the believers as to the attitudes that they would have towards their leaders. If you just want to make a note of these and go read them when you get a chance, Romans chapter 13 is a little bit of a longer one. 1 Timothy chapter 2 is praying for kings and are all that are in authority. And then here in Titus. So you just might want to make a note of those and think about them and study them. But really, in his writing to Rome, the church in Rome, and his writing to Titus, he talks about being submissive and obedient to rulers and authorities. Now, this is a can of worms we're not going to dig into tonight. All right? Because there's questions, okay? When the government wants you to do something that's wrong, then you don't obey the government. Then no, you don't, okay? But there are issues that come up. If the government says, close your church down because of COVID, do you obey the government? Back when all that was taking place, some folks said, yes, you need to honor and submit to the government. Other folks said, no. And unfortunately, I think for believers, there was a good bit of conflict there. Okay? So this would be a whole nother message, a whole nother thing to dig into. So we're not going to do that tonight. But generally, there is an attitude there, be submissive and obedient to rulers and authorities. One Christian radio guy that I listened to talked about being obedient to rulers. And he said, generally speaking, Christians need to be obedient to their leaders. And he used an example and he said, if the government tells you to put pinwheels on your head, you ought to put pinwheels on your head. Well, the conference that several of us got to go to last year, there was a ministry kind of making fun of them. And they were all wearing pinwheels on their head. And they kind of publicly, I don't know, is attack the right word? I don't know. But there's a big conflict there. So these folks said, nah, you're government. But anyway, they're walking around the conference with the pinwheels on their head. So there's question there about that one. Okay. COVID would be one. Church close? Church not close? Well, there's tough discussions that took place. Trials and difficulties for pastors and ministries. Folks leaving churches because one stand or the other that a church would take. So, again, we're not digging into that tonight. But one thing I do know is from all the other teachings we have in Scripture is believers should have unity. And, boy, you got to figure that one out. Okay, but we're not going to dig into that one. Okay? Then he says, be ready for every good work. All right, so, I mean, that's pretty general. But I just want to challenge us this evening that the one good work that we can certainly do towards our leaders is to pray. All right. There are certain folks, when they come on the news and you just hear their voice, it just rankles you. And you know what I'm talking about? Just grates. Because the things they believe in, the things that they teach, and boy, what should our first response be? It would be to prayer. Be ready for every good work. Now, some folks will look at that one and say, now, believers, part of their good works is being involved in the political process, whatever that might be, the protesting, the politicking. We're not going to dig into that one tonight because there's some differences that believers will have about that. But look with me at these next ones. These are the ones I want us to really stick in our minds. Speak evil of no one. All right? This is the right Christian attitude and action for a believer. Speak evil of no one. I just want to challenge us this evening when we get in conversations about some of these leaders. How do we speak? You know, do we speak evil? I hate to even bring it up. It would be very inappropriate for believers, for Christians, to be involved in a let's go Brandon kind of a thing. All right? If you don't know what that is, don't look it up. All right? But back when all that was hitting the fan, there was a church that had an event at their church, and the congregation, not the congregation, the group that was in the church was yelling that. All right. Now, the church did come out and say, it was an outside group. It wasn't one of our events. I just want to challenge us this evening that for believers, a proper, right Christian attitude is speak evil of no one. All right. Avoid quarreling. Have you ever had any quarrels over politics with someone? It's hard not to, all right? But avoid quarreling. Here's another one. Be gentle. And then lastly, show perfect courtesy toward all people. I just want to challenge us and encourage us this evening. Does this characterize our attitudes and actions towards whether it's politicians or other unbelievers, other folks that we struggle with? Paul is challenging Titus. He's saying, remind your people. We need to remember what are the right Christians and right Christian attitudes and actions. And this is just a list that Paul gave us. So how do we do that? That can be challenging. The next thing Paul says is, remember who we were without Christ. All right? To stop and think about an unbeliever who's spouting something that we think, how can a person believe that? How can a person promote that? And we might become angry about it. We might become bitter about it. But Paul says, stop and remember what you were like without Christ. And if you're walking with me through this passage, this is a description of who we were without Christ. We were foolish and disobedient. Oop, and there it went. We were foolish and disobedient. All right? Just walk with these through me. We were led astray. We were slaves to various passions and pleasures. All right. Can you reset that? Actually, just walk with me through the passage. If you can just get it dimmed there. Our thing was messed up. Okay, where were we? For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, and hating one another. That's a description of who we are without Christ. So we need to remember that that's what we were like. Now, if we were saved as a child, or we were saved pretty young, and we've spent, you know, a lot of years going to church, I think we forget this. All right? If you were saved as a 5 or a 6-year-old, you might say, well, I didn't spend much time in that. But yet we need to remember, what was our lost and sinful condition without Christ? All right. And this is a pretty vivid description of that. So when we hear some of these people saying what they say, promoting what they promote, and we're tempted to be angry, we're tempted to be bitter towards them, speaking evil of them, showing not courtesy, uncourteous things to them, then we need to stop and remember that without Christ, that would be me, except for the grace of God. And then we remember, Paul says, remind them, remember what all God has done for us in Christ. So you have the description of those without Christ, but then look at verse 4, okay? But, and then you've got a phrase in the middle, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. So if you take the phrase out, you've got a simple statement, but God saved us. The Bible study that I did last week was one I did years ago, but it was how one little word makes a difference. And you can go through the scriptures, it's a great study, wherever you see, but God. That's a great study. So, here we were, lost, with this awful description of who we are without Christ, but then he says, but God saved us. When the goodness and loving kindness of our God appeared, he saved us. Not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. It's not because we were any better. It's not because we earned it or because we deserved it. It's only because of the grace of God. And so that's what we need to remember. Boy, we could park here for a long time. One thing, just note real quick. Note the work of the Holy Spirit, or the work of the Trinity in salvation. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So right there, we can see the work of the Trinity. And you can take it to eternity past, the work of the Trinity in our salvation. If you want a fancy Latin theological term for that, they call it the pactum salutis. That is the agreement for salvation. And that is in eternity past, God the Father made the plan to send His Son, and through the Holy Spirit working in our hearts to save us. So it's only through the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior. It's through the washing of regeneration, the renewal of the Holy Spirit, and it's all through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We need to remember that. All right? And that it's all because of the grace of God. So we think about the children in Good News Club. We want to see them come to know and understand the grace of God, and we want to see the Holy Spirit work in their hearts that they might, through Christ and through the Holy Spirit, come to faith in God. Whether it's in the state capitol, we want to see our leaders, the ones who don't know the Savior, we want to see the work of the Holy Spirit and the gospel in their hearts that they might come to the Lord. But here's an exciting one I want to close with. And one of the right Christian attitudes that we would have, whether it's towards politicians or it's towards what's going on in life, is that a believer ought to have a life of joy and peace. And it's when we don't have a life of joy at peace that we begin to get angry towards others. We begin to get bitter. Well, Paul says, remind the believers of something else. Remind them, remember what we have to look forward to. So go down with me to verse 7. Paul says, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So that is a reminder to what we have to look forward to. All right. Again, apology to the guys that were in my Sunday school class. We talked about what it meant to be heirs. Prince William, when the Queen died, inherited $1.2 billion estate. All right, and in dollars, that's like about $1.4 billion. That's pretty awesome. All right, and he will get 23 million pounds a year. It's about $24 million a year, and we'd say, now that's a pretty awesome inheritance. He didn't have to do anything except have his grandmother die, but because of his relationship with her. Well, because of our relationship as a child of God, we have an inheritance. We see that in Ephesians. We see that in Romans. And the passages tell us that we have this inheritance. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So if I understand that, what Christ has, we have. All right. That's a lot more awesome than a $1.2 billion estate and $23 million a year, isn't it? We have eternal life. We have this inheritance. And God gave us the Holy Spirit as a promise of that inheritance. So we have the Holy Spirit in us working in our lives. So if we're justified by His grace, we are heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So in closing this evening, I just want to encourage us that when we begin to get angry towards politicians, towards unbelievers who do us wrong, whatever it is, we're getting our eyes off of, we're forgetting that glory that we have to look forward to. That's the inheritance that we have. And we have the Holy Spirit now even working out that inheritance in our lives. You know what? One of the most glorious things of that inheritance is going to be is no more sin. No more sinful heart. No more sinful desires. No more remaining sin, indwelling sin, old nature, whatever you want to call it. That's going to be gone. That's our position. All right. But right now, the Holy Spirit's working in us on a day-to-day basis to make us more and more and more like Christ. So that's our inheritance. That's what we have to look forward to. But because of our circumstances and our trials and what's going on around us, we can get our eyes off of that. So how can we have right Christian attitudes towards, whether it's politicians or others, folks we may disagree with very strongly? All right. We need to remember what are the right Christian attitudes and actions to have. And Paul gives us a description of those. Again, we said there's some questions about a couple of them, but speak evil of no one, avoid quarreling, be gentle, show perfect courtesy toward all people. I just want us to think about our interactions or how we talk about folks and all that. So remember, what are the right attitudes and actions? Remember who we were without Christ. Who those folks are, that's who we are without Christ. And we can forget that. And when we forget that, I think we lose some appreciation of what the gospel is in our lives. So remember who we were without Christ. Remember what all God has done for us in Christ. But He saved us. And then remember what we have to look forward to. And that'll be an encouragement to us. So I just want to close with that this evening. Again, you might pray for our ministry there at the State House. Been a challenging couple of years. It's been some difficulties there, and we're trying to be faithful. But when you hear leaders in the news and you begin to get a little anger there, stop. Remember, hey, those folks need the Lord. I needed the Lord, and they need the Lord, and use that as an opportunity to pray for them. So I hope that's an encouragement to us this evening. And then just the closing verse there, in verse 7, or verse 8, Paul continued to write, he says, this saying is trustworthy, what he's been saying. I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. So I hope that's an encouragement to you this evening as we think about some of these things. Let's close in prayer. Father, we do want to praise you and thank you for your grace and your mercy that you showed to us. Lord, help us remember, we didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. It's not because we were better or smarter or anything. It's simply because of your grace that you demonstrated to us in all that Christ has done. His perfect life, his suffering and death. And we just thank you for that glorious, wonderful statement. But God saved us. And help us to remember that this evening. And Lord, give us a burden to share this good news with others, even as we've had our missions conference. And so I just pray that as we are overwhelmed and excited by the work of the gospel in our own lives, we'll want to share that with others. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close with, I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. So if you are rejoicing in the fact that, but God saved me, then we do want to tell others about.